You are listening to the JetNation.com podcast hosted by Courtney Arillo and Nick Casal.
Hello and welcome to the JetNation podcast. I'm Courtney Arillo and I'll be flying solo today. Nick Casal had to direct his time on his real paying job and he doesn't have a lot of time in the world like I do. I'm only joking. I do have a job. But you know, don't fear, he's going to be back for the next podcast and we'll be discussing that big Cincinnati game coming up tomorrow. So, pretty excited for that. Football kicks off. Football all weekend, every day. Wish it could be like that all the time. Today, I do have a special guest joining me later on the show, which I'll be announcing shortly. But first, just a quick recap of the crazy week. What the hell's... Everyone's wondering what's going on with the Jets. You know, nothing. With the fighting and everything, nothing. They're football players. The real question is, what the hell's going on with the media? Like, they've never seen this before. Like, I mean, the pads are on. Let them play already. They want to let out their aggression. They're excited for the season. They want to start already. You know, most of them are competing for either starter or just a secured spot on the roster. I mean, this is what they do. But you have ESPN hosting the Tebow show and, you know, discussing the color of his socks because we can't discuss his throwing skills. And, you know, reports pouring out of Canton about every scuffle the players get in. I mean, you know, every other team is going through the same thing right now. It's just not being broadcasted around the globe, minus the socks. No one has a sock issue. But yeah, I just wanted to vent about that real quick. But I do like how Mark is handling it. Rex is making him run extra. I mean, whatever. I mean, like in any sport, of course you're going to get reprimanded. And then Rex doesn't care. Everyone's like, oh, he's just, the cameras are on. Now we have to show that there's control and we're going to punish the players. Whatever. It's like, get over it. We had the opinion of Boomer Esiason when earlier this week on his show, he voiced his opinion about Tebow and how the Jets should cut him. Not necessarily just cut him, but, you know. Well, no, I guess that is what he said pretty much. I know, I couldn't agree more. I actually called the show and to say thank you to him because I think it's great that someone... you know, who has a voice and public figure and, I don't know, is a former quarterback of the Jets. And everyone else has their own opinion on Boomer as well. But, I mean, whatever. I'm glad he said it. I'm glad he said something. I mean, everyone's all, like, bowing down to him. Just gets old. Like, so happy football's back. Like, no more practices. Let's just get the game going, start the season. But... you know, Tim's bringing some overwhelming amount of attention to the team. And sorry, Mr. Johnson, I'm not falling for your surprise act. But, you know, I want the team to win games. And I'm cheering for him as a whole. I'm not cheering for the two quarterback system. I'm not happy about the reports of using Tim in the red zone. I mean, the Jets were, I believe, number two. I'm not good with my numbers. that's where Nick comes in. I think they're number two in the red zone last year. You know, Mark helped make that happen. And we have to remember that Mark is one player, not 11. Just want to remind some people of that, some haters. But, you know, if it works, use it. And, that's pretty much it. I mean, it's not like we're bragging about the Wildcat. It's not like the Jets are in this bubble where we have all these unique plays. You know, other teams are using the Wildcat as well. And... I don't know. We could be a little bit more unpredictable for the defenses. I mean, for other teams' defense this year. But if we keep doing what we're doing, nothing's very unpredictable. Anyway, that's what's, you know, just basic practice. Right now, my main concern, though, is, again, protecting the quarterback because, you know, the offense with our wide receiver situation is a little weird. We just brought in three new wide receivers yesterday, I think. It's like we have wide receiveritis. Our situation is parallel to the Pats tight ends, just as far as the number of players go. They're dropping like flies, kind of. due to soft tissue. No, I'm just kidding. It's no surprise. I'm not surprised personally to see Scotty McKnight or, DeMarcus Ganaway. Let's just get all these names straight since every other player has the same name. But it wasn't really a surprise to me to see them get cut. I mean, you don't want to see anyone, but, it happens part of the game. It's all this health issue stuff. I mean, look at Jeff Ota. Just one podcast ago, we considered him. But due to him not being healthy, he's not passing, all his tests and stuff. He's still a Jaguar. So, I'm not too worried about Santonio Holmes. I mean, I don't even think he's playing tomorrow, which is smart. I mean, everyone's like, oh, it's just that this game doesn't count. It counts. But, it's just good to keep him on the side and, we're only going to use Mark for a few plays probably. You know how it goes. But as far as, the wide receivers and, breaking out, I think this would be, an Aaron Maben year for Stephen Hill. Really big, rookie year. The other 80 wide receivers, from a select few, I don't know. I just hope we all stay in shape. I don't know why they didn't take care of themselves more in the offseason, but, obviously Rex is pretty pissed. Everyone slacked off, and, hopefully they learned their lesson. But aside from what's going on with the Jets right now, JetNation.com has revamped their entire site, and it's awesome. Everyone should check it out. And a big announcement, which I probably should have made earlier in the show, but we have officially partnered with the Yes Network. So that's my golf clap. It's awesome. It's a big deal. I was checking. Actually, we went live with it last night, or they went live with us, rather. And you go to Yes Network under NFL. We're there. It's awesome. It's really cool that, people, I guess, follow Jet Nation. And then, it's not just, obviously football. Yankees fans, they can look at it, too. And I know there's a lot of Yankees fans out there. And everyone knows how I feel about baseball. But, I'm just ready for football. Anyway, so big shout out and a big thank you to Yes Network. And looking forward to big things in the future. But right now, enough of what I think. Let's bring in another point of view from a very close follower of football. Every loyal New York fan knows him from his column with CBS Sports and WFAN and on Twitter as Green Lantern. May I introduce to you Jeff Capellini, everyone. Hey, Jeff. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Doing good, Courtney. How are you?
I'm good. Are you excited for tomorrow's game?
I don't get excited about the preseason for the most part, but it is nice that we're actually going to see something on the field, something that sort of matters, as opposed to, the nonstop chaos that is the offseason and then training camp. And it's just nice that we're going to get to see some real actual football.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, I mean, the games, they matter. I was talking about it earlier, but maybe they'll beat down a couple extra Bengals, just get that aggression out. I don't know. But you just wrote a really great article about Rex and how he is handling this whole situation up in Cortland that everyone is blowing up. And I thought it was an interesting point of view for everyone to read about, considering many things do fall back on the coaches. Rex said he's going to remain the same old Rex, minus the Super Bowl promise. But, how do you think he's handling the team as a whole? Or do you think it's the media that he really needs to handle?
I think Rex is in like a no man's land right now. He's not sure yet how to handle the media based on his new mantra that he's going to, have control.
Yeah.
It just seems like he's still trying to figure it out. I wrote that he needs to go out of his way to make sure the media understands that he's in control. And I find that odd because I look at that guy and I say, this is a man who demands respect and attention, regardless of the situation. And for him to have to go out of his way, show media that, it just seems like it takes away from who he is and what the Jets feed off of.
So I
think it's going to take a little time. I think he sets a bad precedent by going over the top with discipline. I mean, over the top as far as the Jets are concerned, because they're not used to that type of discipline. But when he does something like that, I'm just not sure who he's serving by doing that.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, is he? Why does he? I don't see why he has to satisfy the media. I mean, I personally think he's feeding into it. Like, just stick to your press conferences and, you know, just keep it simple. Like, I was listening. You know, the way he does a press conference, he's different. I mean, yeah, he's animated. You know, we know that. But then I was listening to Sperano, and you know, he's chilling there with the shades on, like Jack Nicholson style, just like hanging out there, like talking. Okay, this is what you got to hear. Bomb, bomb, bomb. But you know, everyone's different, and that's what makes the Jets, I guess.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see how this progresses. I mean, if they win games, it's not going to matter. None of it will make a difference.
Exactly.
Like who decided to, you know, address the media in this way or deal with them in that way. It's not going to matter. As long as they win, no one's going to care. But if they lose, or side of adversity, you know, then you're going to have the media looking for Rex to punish someone for something, when often words and, you know, action or behavior in practice has absolutely zero bearing whatsoever on what goes on the field. So I just pay attention to that going forward. I want to see how he handles it. Just, you know, the Jets are going to have their, it's going to be a roller coaster. They'll be up, they'll be down. The beginning of the season, the little first five games are very rough for them.
Yes.
If they don't win 10 games, is it because of Rex and his approach, or is it because the Jets just don't have enough talent at wide receiver and at on the offensive line, right tackle specifically, or in the backfield? Or in Sean Green, you know, they haven't got any help. Sean Green. I mean, that would also be the thing that should be addressed as the reason why the team doesn't do well, as opposed to, you know, they're the same old Jets. They just cause turmoil and it carries over the field. There's no way to prove that.
No. Let me ask you this. You know, they want to use Cromartie as a wide receiver. You know, Terrence Gannaway possibly as now a fullback. You know, he was originally marked down as a running back. Like, last year they used Josh Baker as a fullback, but he's listed as a tight end. Like, what do you think about these dual positions, position plays? You think it'll have a negative impact, on the team performance? I mean, now the guys have to learn positions, and like we're going right into the season that they're not too familiar with. I mean, they can't learn it as the season rolls along. I mean, you're supposed to know what you're doing by the time, you know, you start playing football.
Well, it's funny because you have to see what you have, and that's what training camp's for. The Cromartie thing is, I read his comments and it was just like laughing. You know, it's Cromartie. It's what he does. He's a good Jet. I mean, he plays in the corner, and you know, you deal with what he says. The fact that it was made into this big thing, well, it made me laugh more than anything else. I just looked at it like, come on, I mean, why are we making this out to be a bigger deal than it is? How much did you not play wide receiver? I mean, really? You can't play wide receiver that much, if at all. Well, let's not worry about it. But, you know, then Rex felt compelled to have to step in. And that goes back to my earlier point. Why? Why should he have to step in when it's just Crow being Crow and everybody who's followed this team knows that? You know, so it just struck me as odd that, you know, such a big deal was made of that. I'm not surprised because, you know, the media needs to, you know, have its own agenda and do what it needs to do. I get that. But the fans and the players, the ones who really were in bed, that should know that that was not. When you were talking about Galloway, that was drafted in the sixth round for a reason. I mean, hopefully we're going to see something positive from him in the first couple of preseason games. I don't know where he's fit in yet. I mean, I'm sure at this point, I think you're just looking at him as a depth running back. Mm-hmm. I mean, thank you for Bilal Powell last year, but hopefully with better skill and better results. As for fullback, I mean, I don't know. You know, he's a big body, no question. He can probably, if he has any skills whatsoever, he can play as a trail or holes, but we don't know about Stecky. We don't know anything about that. You have Connor, who, you know, people like to get on Connor, but the guy, you know, he quietly tries to do his job out there. He may not be Tony Richardson, but he's not terrible. And, you know, we're going to see more from him. And Josh Baker, I mean, Baker's a really interesting. He's not a great camp, and everybody seems to be raving about him. But the Jets really need a blocking tight end more than they do another guy to catch the ball. So, again, it's nice to be able to see all these things. It's better that they do it all now and know what they have than get to game one and have shortcomings. I mean, I think the Jets eventually are going to have to consider perhaps signing some people. But I'm not sure the Wild Powell, you know, it'd be great if there was no pads on running around, but up in Portland. But is he really the guy that could be a 1A Sean Green? I don't know. You?
No, I mean, I didn't think he'd get to where he's at right now, and I think if he didn't, Terrence Ganaway would have a better, chance of maybe being like third. But you can also find everyone real quick that the depth chart, like we're talking about, on JetNation.com. The Jets actually just put it out yesterday, I think, too, and I'm actually looking at it right now. I mean, it is what it is. I like the defense a little bit better.
No worries there.
It's going to be another 2009 defense. I mean, I keep saying it. It's going to – I don't want our defense to, win its games. Mark will definitely be better, if he has a chance. I mean, I always have a little thing to say about the quarterback situation because I'm not – happy that Tim's our quarterback. I totally take that back. or is even like has the title of quarterback. But I mean, the only way we'll see anything out of Tim is if we let him throw 60 times or something. Then Mark won't play. Like, what? Seriously, what's the point? I think it's more of a title, and because that's what he wants to be. And they're like, that's how they brought him in. I know Mike Tannenbaum always has a plan. But I just forgot where it was going. Like, media aside, just like his performance, I can't.
As most people who have read my stuff and follow me on Twitter know, I'm a big fan of Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of a guy like that because aside from him being a good guy and a good role model, good leader. That stuff is awesome for the game. It's awesome for what it represents what a player should be like, and that's wonderful. As for what he is as a football player, my assertion was when I wrote my first column suggesting that he would be a good fit for the Jets. It happened to be the day before they actually traded for him. I had no idea they were actually going to trade for him.
Oh wow!
When that went down. My Twitter feed just exploded and it's crazy. And I always viewed him as a weapon. And I continue to say, a weapon. Now, how he's used, that's Brown. Brown's going to figure that out, and he's not going to give away anything. And he's just going to, he reads stories about punt protector, and he reads stories about lining up outside, and in the back, and all this stuff. I mean, how many, you can't play everywhere at once. So, why not just, use him where Sproul sees fit. And we probably know that that's going to be from under center in the Wildcat.
Mm-hmm.
And letting him use his strength, which is, he's a great improvisational runner. Base breakdown, he's at his best. But you have to let him throw the ball. And I know, there's not a person in America right now who doesn't know that Tim Tebow has a problem throwing the ball. But if you watch Tim Tebow on the move, when you let him throw the ball downfield, he throws a great deep ball. And he's going to find himself in a lot of situations because they're not going to respect his opponents, they're not going to respect his arm. He's going to find himself in a lot of situations where he has one-on-one coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, the guy's got a cannon. I mean, he can throw the ball a lot. And the Jets, if they have the speed outside, throw it on the front of them. Stephen Hill and Chase Young and wide receiver X, who is yet to be named, could be anybody, could be a free agent, could be a trade, who knows?
Yeah.
Could be something. And then Santonio slot, and Santonio in the intermediate, and letting him get downfield. Tebow can throw the ball in single coverage, and he's going to shock some teams when he does it. And when he does that, it's going to create a situation where the Jets are not predictable when Tebow's on the field. And that's what you want. You want it.
Because I was mentioning that earlier too. Do you think, like, I'm saying, like, everyone's saying the Jets have, like, all these packages and they're going to use Tebow. It's going to be so unpredictable. Like, yeah, maybe some plays will be, like, you know, unpredictable. That's whatever. That's part of the game. But it's not like other teams are doing this.
what I have to say is the Jets think will be unpredictable in a very predictable block.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
When you come out of the field and you see them, you know they're going to try to run the ball 35, 40 times a game.
Yeah.
You have to have some way of throwing curves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on curves at the opposing defense. And just to have people out there every time he gets the ball, he's like, you know, he's looking for holes to run on the end. You know, it's just, you have to let him make a run, drop back, air it out, and just take a shot. Because this person is going to check off him. For as long as I've been alive, I've been in no vertical downfield enough. They have no vertical game. Since people have had a prototypical quarterback who's going to create that vertical game, but he can sure shock some people if you give him the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, I had to do it 10 times again. But they, you know, one time, two times, at the right time, changes the game.
Yeah, no, I can see it. Or even, like, when you want to talk about using him in the red zone. I don't know. I think Mark was awesome in the red zone last year. And we have to remember.
Mark is a very good, you know, just had a very good season last year in being in the red zone. The year before that, he had a terrible time.
Yeah.
So, a lot of that has to do, you know, there are a million moving parts. There are a million moving parts on offense, but inside the red zone, last year, you know, Keller was good. Santonio was a great red zone target. Plaxico was a very
I think Plax is awesome.
Plaxico was driving crazy, but he's a very good red zone target. I mean, that's why he's broken.
I think we need to put another tall person, like, seriously, just, like, put a tall player down there and we'll be fine. We need an easy target.
Well, then, Shane is a 6'4", you know, run like the wind. You know, and he's got easy physical specimen, that guy, so. But he's always been hurt, and we don't know what he is yet, so that's going to be working for him. Steven Hill, to me, he seems more like the guy who is going to try to change the game between the 20s. He's a home run threat. But again, we don't know what he is. He caught, what, 28 passes, 26 passes the last year, triple option off him.
Yeah, no, Hill's going to have a great year.
We don't know what he is yet. So, would his benefit from some more skill as wide receiver running back? Definitely. I mean, I know Bilal Powell had a very good camp, according to the people who are there. But would it be better if the Jets got a proven running back to say it's Cedric Benson? I mean, I know he's the hot name everyone likes to throw around. I mean, could the Jets be just fighting their time until that system traditionally has a choice with the veteran minimum, and he's not going to get his big deal or his, you know, his substantial deal that he's looking for. That might be what they're doing. Maybe this whole Bilal Powell thing is smoke spin.
All right. I'm thinking we're going to have another 2009 defense.
You know, it's very possible. It's a younger defense, no question about it. I mean, the secondary is definitely a veteran. I mean, there's no question about that. And, you know, the two best corners tandem in the AFC. And, you know, you got to have a question mark about health and safety. But you have three guys, or four guys, if you count, you know, what they did in the draft. Four guys for two slots. And you would think that Landry and Jeremiah Bell would be, you know, exactly what this team needs from a hard-hitting, let's cover a tight end standpoint. Up front, they're going to be, you know, the question will be, can they get to the quarterback? It's always been a big issue.
Yeah.
Early returns seem to indicate that they should be able to apply more pressure and actually finish plays this year. Now, they get their sacks, but they haven't been able to get their sacks at key moments or in bunches. So, it's interesting. We'll have to see what happens to that. Carl Dunbar is going to play everybody. They're not going to retire in the fourth quarter. He's going to have a long rotation along the defensive line. Linebacker, you have the stalwarts in Harris, and looks like Scott's looking to have a bounce back season. He's thin, he's trim, he looks like he's quicker, he should be good. And then, you know, you have to see what he gets from Demario Davis, who everyone seems to be raving about. He, you know, he got off to a slow start with his injury, but he's way behind in camp right now, but eventually he's going to be one of your outside guys. And then you have Aaron Maven, who's having a great camp by all accounts, and we just don't know really what he is yet. There's going to be people are going to be thinking about perhaps wanting to use him every down, but he's not really that kind of player yet. I would say just keep him as a situational pass rusher for now. He has the ability, you know, he could have the ability potentially to change games.
No, definitely, and. Like, we always, we hardly ever hear about the defense because we always talk about the offense. Because, you know, no one's really worried about our Jets defense. I mean, it's they're young, they're, you know, healthy for the most part, and that's pretty much all that matters.
I expect the Jets to stop the run with Puha and, you know, DeVito and
yeah.
All those other great, you know, guys. I expect Copels, you know, to make some kind of impact, and I expect Marlon Wilkerson to have a bigger year. I mean,
Good
last. He was full under the radar a bit, but he was good last year, and this year he should be a lot better. They have size, wingspans, they have, you know, speed, they have a lot of things on defense that should be the envy of the AFC. I think that you just have to, you know, be a little patient with them early on, and I don't think you're going to see those types of games like they had last year against the Raiders and against some other teams early on where they got shredded here and there. And I think it's going to be a much more solidified unit that's, you know, a 60-minute unit as opposed to a 30- or 45-minute unit, which showed its face every now and then during last season.
No,
we had a big play in opportune moments. Couldn't stop long drives when you figured there's no question, hello, TiVo, you know, those types of things. So... we'll see. I mean, I'm very optimistic about the game. The offense will remain, at least for the, you know, rest of camp and the early part of the season, the big question mark.
And like you said, the first, you know, six games, I really hope, you know, I think our defense will really help us out with
the first 5 weeks were brutal. They had a lot of tough games at Pittsburgh, San Francisco, mm-hmm. Buffalo. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I think they have Houston in there, too.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, you know, that I'm not saying that's going to make or break a season, but you certainly don't want to see the Jets start 1-4. If you somehow get out of that 3-2, 2-3, you know, you wish not 2-3, but if you get out of that 3-2 or better, you know, obviously you're on your way. But it's going to be tough going, and Jets going to have to rely on their defense. They really are going to have to rely on their defense, and this defense seems to me that it's focusing young enough and athletic enough and has the right leadership to, you know, continue to be what it's been for the better part of the Rex era.
Yeah, it'll definitely, I agree. And it'll definitely be interesting to see, you know, what it's like, you know, by the bye. Everyone's always concerned about where they're at the bye, and which would be great to have you back on the show, you know, during the bye week if you're willing, you know, if you want to come back on.
sure. Anytime you want me on, just give me a call and we'll work it out. The bye, what week is the bye?
What are we, the 9th? I don't know the date, but I think it's the 9th week. Quote me on that.
No, we can take it by play by year and just see how things are going. But, you know the Jets, any minute something can happen.
Yeah.
So there might be a reason and urgency to talk earlier than that. Or, you know, if we're in a position where there's nothing to talk about and the Jets are winning, I mean, I'll be shocked.
Oh, that would be in a perfect world, you know.
I know.
So, well, again, you know, I guess we, like I said, we can go on talk about this forever, and we will next time. But thank you again, and just so I said it wrong. I think earlier you're for CBS New York, and you're Green Lantern Jet on Twitter.
Yes, it's CBS New York, WFAN. And my Twitter handle is at Green Lantern Jet. And, you can see me on Twitter.
Yeah, definitely. Please follow. Great articles. You write wonderful articles. And, all right. Well, yeah, we'll definitely we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Courtney.
All right. Thanks.
Bye now.
Bye. Well, there you have it. The Wonderful. Jeff Capellini. I have been reading more of his things, his writing, and it's good. I mean, everyone should definitely read it. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the guys, they're going to wrap up Cortland soon. According to Sperano, they should probably have more practice, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, do you ever wonder, like, what they do up there? Like, I know they have, like, 51 hours of film they watch, I think, total. You know, they're always watching film after the practice. They have all these meetings. You know they have downtime. Like, what is there to do up there in Cortland? I mean, it is a college town. I'm sure some guys are going out for beer here and there. And, you know, Mark takes the guys out to sushi. But, you know, I just wonder what they do sometimes to blow off some steam aside from throwing punches on the field. I don't know. With the media, the whole point of going to Cortland was not to have media, but whatever. You know, with all this media around Tim, sometimes I wonder if he'll change over the season. He probably will. Like, I wonder if all this media coverage and, you know, opinions of him, you know, probably drive him to drink or something. Like, really drink. Then he won't play football at all. Could you imagine?
Tim Tebow walks into a bar. That is the joke.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, yeah, I'm pumped. I'm going to start signing off. And, yeah, tune in next time. We're going to talk with, I don't know who we're talking with, but I know Nick and I will be discussing the Bengals game. We already set that up. And not too much about it. You can't judge. Probably just discuss the first quarter. And that's pretty much the quarter that counts. And then, of course, the score. Anyway, I'm signing off. And tune in again to JetNation.com. Thank you again to Jeff Capellini and WFAN. You can catch him on there. Also, a big shout out once again to Yes Network. Please check that out as well. And we'll see you later.
Thank you for listening to the JetNation.com podcast. Be sure to visit JetNation for breaking Jets news. You can also like us on Facebook and Twitter for real-time updates.